I sincerely welcome all assembled devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath Sunday Festival. Especially welcome my dear godbrother, Gaur Prabhu, my dear god sister, Kirtida Mataji, and also Pranabandhu Prabhu and Shruti Dharma Prabhu have come with a host of transcendental Vaishnavas from the United Kingdom. I believe about 50 devotees have come. Let us very sincerely welcome them all to Sri Radha Gopinath. Every Sunday we come for the purpose of sharing each other's lives in order to serve the highest purpose of our human existence. Srila Prabhupada explained it in such a simple way, that Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness of every living entity. Our nature is to love Krishna or God. In forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna, we try to replace that experience of happiness with temporary relationships and experiences within this world. But all such endeavors lead us to frustration because it is not natural. Prabhupada explained, if a fish is outside of water, whatever grandiose arrangements you make for that fish, it will be frustrated because it is not in its natural element. So similarly, we are all eternal spirit souls. These bodies are temporary coverings, like vehicles or sets of clothing. What is the need of the soul? What is the nature of the soul? Anandamayobhyashat. The nature of the soul is to be happy. Haribo, it's so simple. That's why everyone looks for happiness. Have you ever known anyone that did not want to be happy? Why is that the constant, consistent nature of every living being? Even the trees are looking for happiness by trying to get sunlight and water. All species of life is in pursuit of happiness, because it is the nature of the soul to be happy. And what is that happiness that everyone is looking for? The happiness of love. Love of the perfect object that we can repose all of our propensities fully, forever. And that personality is the absolute truth. Or Krishna, who is all attractive. Our Gurudev explained why the name Krishna is such an important name for God. Because it includes all other names. It is perfect and complete in every way. Because everyone is longing to be attracted by someone who is perfectly beautiful, perfectly in every way, able to reciprocate with our hearts. And that is Krishna. Even the best marriages in this world, there's so much tolerance required. And there's attachments But there's also so many other things. You have to bear with one another. Yes? At least this is what I have read about and I've heard about. And I've also witnessed it to some extent. So where is there perfect love in this world? And ultimately, even in the limitations of our relationships, either we die or they die. Or sometimes even before death they're gone in Kali Yuga. But in Krishna, our relationship is eternal. He is the supreme object of everyone's love. It is only due to the soul's natural addiction to Krishna that it's constantly looking for that pleasure of Krishna in so many of the various fantasies of this world. So what is Krishna consciousness? Simply to redirect our natural impulses for love and happiness toward the supreme all-attractive object, Krishna, who has descended in this age of Kali in his holy names. All the power, all the glory, all the beauty, all the wealth, everything of the spiritual world is manifested through the name to the heart of a devotee who chants with pure desire. Cheto darpanamarajanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam. Because the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna, the name of Krishna is all pure. It can purify even the most wicked, filthy, and dirty heart. Dina hina yatta chilo harinam udarilo. Even the most crooked mentality can be utterly purified simply by chanting of the holy names. And what is the evidence? Tara sakshi jagai madhai. That even jagai and madhai, simply by repenting for their sins and sincerely with humility chanting the holy names of the Lord, they attained the perfection of liberation. Recently we were having our Mayapur Yatra. How many of you attended Mayapur Yatra? Some. On one day we went to Madhai Teal. It's a very special place. It's the samadhi of a person who raped women, Brahmin women, Kshatriya women, Vaishya women, Sudra women, any women. No discrimination. Nityananda Prabhu gave mercy without discrimination. Jagai, Madhai, they sinned without discrimination. Their daily diet was the blood and the flesh of cows. They killed Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and anybody else without discrimination. They were murderers. They were rapists. They used to burn people's houses down. And every other word from their mouth, sometimes every word, was obscenities that cannot be repeated. Plus, I don't know Bengali anyway, but by Krishna's grace. But decent people would hold their ears just hearing them speak. They were so rough. They were so demoniac. Yamaraj and all of his staff of Yamadutas, they could not keep track of the accumulated sins of Jagai and Madhai that they performed each day. Just like we have quotas to chant at least 16 rounds. They would drink a quota of so much liquor, kill people, rape people, rob people, plunder. Huh? They were really demons. So you may be asking, why did we visit their samadhi? Is that a reasonable question? Dinahina yata chilo harinamu dharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. There are so many tombs of materialistic people in this world. If you go in the West, so many tombs. I remember when I came to India in 1970 and spent some years in Himalayas, Vrindavan, and other places. And the only tombs I saw were great saints like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. And I remember I was coming in an airplane from London to New York. And from the airport, there was miles and miles and miles, and as far as the eyes could see in all direction, just tombs. Not samadhis, tombs. Just dead people buried. Hundreds and thousands. And I don't think any of them were saints. And I don't think anybody even goes there anymore. They're just... So there are so many tombs of so many materialistic people throughout the world. Why did we go to Madhai's samadhi? Such a wicked, cruel, drunken person. Because simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord sincerely, they became the most gentle, humble lovers of God and servants of all living beings. So when we go to Madhai's samadhi, it gives us hope. Potita pavana hetu tava avatara mo sammo patita prabhu na paibehara. The nature of a devotee is to think him or herself very fallen. Actually, the more you feel yourself fallen, you naturally fall in love with Krishna. You have to fall in love with Krishna. You can't ascend it to love Krishna. When we feel ourselves very fallen, unqualified, then we take shelter with humility. And Krishna reciprocates with that. So every devotee naturally feels, I'm so unqualified. Who am I to love God? So much ego, so much anger, so much desire and attachment. But what is our hope? Tara sakshi jagai madhai. That however wicked we may be, jagai and madhai have defeated us. But even they achieve the ultimate perfection of pure, unmotivated, unconditional love for Krishna. Simply by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the power of hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord. When I was at Madhai's samadhi, I was praying at the lotus feet of Madhai to give me hope. And I got a realization that the deliverance of Madhai and Jagai actually leave none of us any excuse to become pure devotees in this very lifetime. Hare Krishna. We may have so many justifications and excuses. I can't do it. After all, I'm born in the Western world, or I'm born in this family, or I'm living in Bollywood. How am I going to become a pure devotee of Krishna? I have a wife and I have a children. I have family. I have so many excuses. But the fact that Madhai attained pure love of God in his life means there's no excuse. Every single one of us can achieve the ultimate destination. Not by our power, but by the power of Krishna's mercy. By the power of his name. Who is so all attractive that whatever we have been in all of our previous lives or this life, he can attract our hearts into his unconditional loving service for all eternity if we simply hear about him from sincere devotees and chant the holy names. Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one beautiful story which illustrates to what extent a person can achieve spiritual perfection simply by hearing about Krishna. Shall I tell the story?
No.
One morning early, it's actually in the winter season, Krishna stole Gopi's clothes. But I won't tell that story. There's a beautiful Kadamba tree named Chirgat where this beautiful Leela took place. After that, Krishna went quite far from his home in Vrindavan, into the forest, into the pastures with his friends. He called his friends. Oh, Stoka Krishna, Sridhama, Subala, Vasudhama. Oh, Devaprastha, Ojasvi, Ujvala, Arjun, please come and see. See how these trees, the trees of Vrindavan, how they are bending so low in humility, eager to serve all living beings. These trees, their birth and their lives are successful because they are living for the welfare of others. This is God's estimation of what a successful life is. We may manufacture our ideas of success. B.A., M.A., Ph.D., getting a job for a big international company, having a nice healthy body, being athletically very expert, making large sums of money, having power, political influence, having beautiful children who are obedient, living long, long life. But from the point of view of the Lord, this has nothing to do with success. He explains that these trees, their birth and life is successful. They are quite perfect. Why? Because they are living for the welfare of others. See how they are enduring much suffering and difficulty just so that they can help others. They are standing in the wind and protecting us from the wind. In the rain to serve as umbrella to protect us. In the cold, they will give us their wood to keep warm. Even in the snow, they are very tolerant, never complaining. Never complaining about their own difficulties. Simultaneously, whatever anyone asks of a tree, the tree will give. Give you their fruits, their leaves, their flowers, their wood, their bodies. Of course, para upakar. What is the greatest welfare we can do for another? To enlighten their eternal souls. Feeding hungry people is necessary. They're going to be hungry tomorrow. Hospitalizing and giving medical relief to sick people is good. It is pious. But still, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshanam, old age, disease, and death will come upon everyone. So what is the greatest welfare work we can do? It is to enlighten a person, to realize the great treasure of eternal happiness that is within their own hearts by connecting a person again to Krishna. In the Gopi Gitas, it is explained, tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam, that the most munificent, kind persons who are living for the real welfare of others are those who describe the glorious pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. Because Vaishnavas die to live. And live to spread the holy name around. Die to live. What does that mean? In this life it means, death means no more ego. They give up all their personal interests. They give up their selfish motivations. They give up their ahankar, their false ego. That's material death. To live eternal life of the soul. And also, when Vaishnava's body actually ceases to function, in that death they live eternally with the Lord. And while in this world, they live simply to spread the glories of the holy name. In other words, a devotee lives for others. Recently, during the Purna festival, about 600-700 students were here in the temple room. We were explaining the story of Ranti Dev. Ranti Dev was a king with a family. But what was the quality of his love for God? It must be studied carefully. He fasted for a long time. And they brought his prasad. He was about to take it with his family who fasted with him. When a Brahmin came, said, I'm hungry. He fed him to his full satisfaction, then sat down to eat with his family. And another person came in, just a very ordinary person, said, I'm hungry, King, give me food. King fed him and fed his family. Then he sat down, whatever little was left. And someone came with some dogs and said, my dogs are hungry. So all the remaining food he gave to the dogs. Haribo. Now here he is on the verge of death. He only has a little water that will sustain his life. He's about to drink that water. And a chandala, a person who's just outcasted by the rest of society, comes to his door and says, King, I am thirsty. Give me water. Now what would you do? Honestly, what would you do? It's not like your guru or the prime minister is asking for water. It's a chandala, what everybody else has rejected. What Ranti Dev did is so illustrative of what a great soul's heart is. He folded his palms and prayed to Krishna. Said, oh my dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are so merciful to me. You are giving me this service. I pray to you, O Lord, I pray that let me continue to take birth again and again in this world to live amongst all living beings. And let me sacrifice my life so that other people will not have to suffer. That is my prayer. In giving this chandala my water, I am giving this chandala my life. By doing so, I will never again have to feel thirst, hunger, lamentation, anxiety, moroseness. This was his prayer. And then he gave the water to the chandala. Then all those personalities appeared as demigods and exclaimed, Ranti Dev, we wanted to show the world what a Vaishnava is. So Krishna is praising the trees of Vrindavan because they live for the welfare of others. They are willing to make sacrifices for the welfare of others. It's one thing to live in a beautiful situation and give some charity. It's another to actually accept hardships on behalf of others. That is a sign of love. That is a sign that there's actually love of God in your heart. Because you see, aham bija pratapita, that every living entity is dear to Krishna, and you will want to do something if you have the power to do so. That is Vaishnav. Therefore we pray, bancha kalpata dubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. That Vaishnavas are like desire trees. Like these trees of Vrindavan, who are eager, without discrimination even, to perform the highest welfare work for all living beings. How? By inspiring people to hear about Krishna, to remember Krishna, and to chant his holy names. As Krishna was praising the trees and revealing success of life means service. Not to enjoy, but to serve. And Krishna Sudata Sarva Bhutanam. That means he's the ever well-wishing, loving friend of every living being. So if Krishna is saying success in life is to serve, that means it is the ultimate best thing for us. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished and flourishes when we serve Krishna according to his will, by performing welfare to others, by connecting people to Krishna, then we flourish eternally. That is knowledge. They entered deeper and deeper into the forest, through various pasture grounds. They came to the river Jamuna with the cows. The boys had the cows drink the crystal clear nectarine water of Jamuna to their full satisfaction. The cowherd boys missed breakfast that day because they were with Krishna when he was stealing Gopi's clothes. That was an early morning pastime. So they were feeling great hunger in their stomachs. Now, according to Jiva Goswami, actually, it wasn't that the cowherd boys were concerned with their own hunger, but they knew that Krishna hadn't eaten all day. Neither had Balaram. And they knew that Krishna and Balaram are always concerned with their devotees. So in order to get nice prasad for Krishna and Balaram, what better way it is than pretending to be hungry? So Gopa's addressed, "Oh Balaramji, performer of great heroic strength, oh Krishna, subduer of all inauspiciousness, subduer of all enemies, please subdue this great inauspicious enemy of hunger that is in our bellies." They really wanted to convince Krishna they were hungry so that they could get food for Krishna, because they thought he was hungry. This is love. So the cowherd boys explained that just like a venomous serpent poison creates such suffering in the body, that is how our stomachs feel. It is like a blazing fire of hunger that's about to consume our lives. Please, Krishna, Balaram, subdue this pain in our bellies and give us some food. This is how they're speaking, so that they could get food to give Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna Balaram will do anything for his devotees, and the devotees will do anything for Krishna. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. The Bhagavatam describes the relationship between the Lord and devotee. Krishna says that the sadhu means one who is surrendered to me. My devotee gives everything for me. His life is for me. Knows no one but me. And therefore, yeyatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. According to how a person approaches Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Therefore, I know no one but my devotee. I only think of my devotee. I will do anything for my devotee. So the gopas, they will do anything to give Krishna Balaram some prasad, and Krishna Balaram will do anything to give his devotees prasad. This is Vrindavan. Krishna told gopas that, "Oh, you are hungry? I know where you can get some food. Just nearby, there are some yajnik brahmins. They are performing the Angiras Yajna, which is a karmakandik yajna to attain the opulences and the pleasures of the heavenly planets. At this time, it is very auspicious for them to give in charity. So go to them. Tell them that nearby Balaram is very hungry. And also Krishna." So the gopas, the instruction of their beloved Lord, although they were in Sakyaras as intimate friends of Krishna, they would play with him, joke with him, laugh with him, eat with him. Such sweet, spontaneous love of Vrindavan. Still, their life, their soul, their everything was Krishna and Balaram's satisfaction. They received an order. So they took that order on their heads and they went right to that yajnik Brahmin sacrifice. What an incredible scene it was. Please, my friends, these were not ordinary Brahmins. These were the top class Brahmins as far as the society was concerned. Very learned, very expert in rituals. And therefore they were extremely wealthy. The sacrificial arena was incredibly ornate. There was huge sums of ghee
being poured in the fire. This only increased, the smell of it increased the gopa's appetite. They were amazed to see what opulences were there. The gopas offered their full prostrated obeisances, bowing down to the Brahmins. And then with folded hands they prayed, "O earthly gods." Srila Prabhupada explains, Brahmins are supposed to be representing the Lord on earth. It is not that a Brahmin is God, but they are the representatives of God on earth. Therefore, they are addressed as earthly gods. It's also a nice thing to say to somebody if you want them to give you something. Oh, earthly gods. You are very learned and very pure in your hearts and your minds, and you are living for the welfare of others. Just close by, on the banks of Yamuna, is Balaram and Krishna. And they are very hungry, and so are we. And we have been sent by Lord Balaram, under the instruction of Krishna, to get some food. Now we know that at this particular time in your yajna, it's very allowable and auspicious for you to give in charity. And we see there's so much wonderful foodstuffs that you have prepared for the sacrifice. The Brahmins were so immersed in their mantra, tantra, yantra, puja, mudra, that they just didn't even look at the gopas. To be neglected, to be ignored, is actually a great insult. Yes? The gopas were standing there. They just ignored them. So the gopas became very disappointed. Disappointed, why? One is, Krishna and Balaram are hungry and they couldn't get anything for them. Also, they were disappointed because Krishna gave them an instruction and they were not able to fulfill it. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kudunandana bahushaka kyanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna tells in Sri Bhagavad Gita, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. Those who are whose minds and intelligence is irresolute is very many branched. And Thakur Vishwanath Chakravarti, he gives in his commentary an explanation that Srila Prabhupada really considered the sacred guideline of his life. That this determination, this resolute purpose means that one should make the order of the spiritual master one's life and soul. Krishna is the original guru. He is Jagat Guru. Krishna gave the gopas the instruction to get food from the Brahmins, and they tried their best, but it was impossible. So they came back to Krishna and Balaram with very, very despondent hearts and sad faces. They explained to Krishna that these Brahmins, they're supposed to be living for the welfare of others, but they wouldn't even look at us. They wouldn't even say anything to us. They didn't give anything. Even when we, in your name, what is the use of their being Brahmins? What is the use of their yajnas?
What they're saying is the truth. Vedaischa savar aham eva vedyo vedantakarit veda vedeva chaham.
All the Vedas and all the yajñas of the Vedas are only meant to satisfy Krishna. They missed the whole point. So the gopas were very sad. But Krishna smiled and then he laughed. He said, my dear gopa friends, please, to see faults in others contaminates the heart. Probably these Brahmins were just so engrossed in their yajna that they didn't hear what you said. That's all. Don't think bad about them. And besides that, this is the way of begging. When you're a beggar, sometimes people give and sometimes they do not give. You cannot be disturbed or elated by these dualities. This is a very important point. Although Krishna knew the heart of hearts of these Brahmins, still, through the gopas, he wanted to teach the world we shouldn't find faults with others. Because if you find faults with others, you become contaminated by that influence. If you see the good in others, it cultivates goodness. If you see faults in others, it cultivates faults. Why? Because you are what you associate with. You become influenced by that. Then Krishna told the wives of these Brahmins, they are constantly meditating upon me with deep affection. They will give you everything they have. Go to them and ask. Just mention my name. And they will become enthused to surrender everything. They are just now at their homes. Go. So the gopas ran to the homes of the Brahmins' wives. Now these Brahmins' wives, they were not just sitting on the floor. They were sitting in beautiful seats. And they had beautiful clothes and very elegant ornaments. They were coming from families that were so honored and worshipped by the society. The gopas offered their obeisances and with folded palms said, oh, wives of the great yajñic Brahmins, we have come on a mission of Krishna and Balaram. As soon as they heard the names Krishna, Balaram, they became completely ecstatic. Tears were pouring profusely from their eyes. Their hairs were standing on end. Their body was erupting like the flower of the Kadamba tree. Their limbs were trembling. They became speechless in ecstasy just hearing the names of Krishna and Balaram. The gopas were very astounded to see this. They said, Krishna and Balaram, they are desiring that you give them some food. These ladies were in such a state of trance that they couldn't say anything. So the gopas were thinking, the husbands didn't say anything, now the wives aren't saying anything. But they seem to love Krishna, but why they're not saying? They couldn't say anything. Immediately, they somehow or other came out of their trance and began to collect fresh cooked rice covered with ghee. So many varieties of sabjis and cakes and sweets and soups. And they pack them in golden pots with crystal lids. And personally held them in their own arms to bring them to wherever Krishna was. It is at this point I'd like to bring us to the beginning of the lecture. The power of hearing about Krishna. The wives of these Brahmins, they never saw Krishna. They never ever met Krishna. How is it that there was such ecstatic love in their hearts simply by hearing the name of Krishna? Because they had heard about Krishna from the Brijabasi ladies who they would meet. These Brijabasi ladies were pure devotees. They were lovers of Krishna. They heard about Krishna from them. They heard about his beautiful form, which had a complexion like a freshly formed monsoon rain cloud. Shamsundar. He played upon the beautiful Murali flute, Muralidhar. He wore yellow garments, Pitambar. He had a threefold bending form, Tribhanga. His eyes were like blooming lotus petals, Padmalochan. His beautiful blackish hair curled around his moon-like face, Vrindavan Chandra. His lips were like the fresh bimba fruit. He wore a beautiful garland of wild forest flowers. They heard about Krishna's beauty. They heard about Krishna's qualities, how he spoke, how he joked with his devotees, how he killed the various asuras that came to Braj Bhumi. They heard his wonderful pastimes again and again and again. Just by hearing from these devotees, they fell in love with Krishna. They were constantly, day and night, speaking amongst one another about Krishna's names, his beautiful qualities, and his wonderful leelas. Yes, years went by, and these Brahmins' wives were simply hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and thus constantly remembering Him. And from this process, they attracted the all-attractive. Their love awakened for Krishna. And when a devotee's love becomes pure, Krishna reciprocates and calls that devotee into His presence. The Brahmins' wives, with these golden pots filled with the best, most luxurious prasad, actually bhoga, and they were cooking extra preparations, and they were putting aromas and fragrances. And what was the sweetest fragrance? The fragrance of their love, of their enthusiasm, and of their detachment. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam. Real bhakti includes detachment and knowledge.
They had knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by hearing. And they loved Him. And the natural result was they were detached from any impediment that could come in their way. So they very enthusiastically hurried into the pasture grounds. But as they were going, their husbands, their fathers, their sons, their brothers, their sisters, and everybody else around, "No, you cannot go. Your husbands are doing yajna. You must be here to help them. You cannot go." But they went. They didn't care anything for what anyone said. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. I will protect you from all dangers. Do not fear. This was the mood of the Brahmins' wives. They were fearless. What was their enthusiasm? Their anticipation? They were meditating on Krishna. They were praying to Krishna. They were hearing about Krishna. They were constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. And now the fruit of their life of love was about to be realized. They were going to see Krishna face to face and offer the love of their hearts personally to Him in the form of all of this bhoga. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that there was one Brahmin wife whose family actually physically apprehended her and did not allow her to go. Hare Krishna. Would you like to know what happened to her? Remind me later and I will tell. The other ladies, they entered into the forest. And they saw very, very auspicious trees bending down very low, bowing their heads. They realized, we must be close to Shamsundar now, because the trees are bowing down. And as they came closer, they came in contact with Krishna and Balaram's effulgence. The effulgence from their bodies just became those ladies' everything. It became their life breath. It became their ornaments. It became their clothes. It became all of their mind, their senses. They saw through the trees. Walking along the bank of Jamuna, there was Krishna with the gopas, joking and laughing. They entered into the clearing, and there Govinda was waiting for them. His left hand was leaning on the shoulder of his cowherd boyfriend, Subal. His right hand was twirling a lotus flower. His complexion was dark like the tamal tree. His blooming lotus-like eyes cast a glance of nectar upon them. His golden robes and his beautiful, beautiful black hair that encircled his moon-like face captured their hearts. Krishna smiled upon them. When Lord Krishna smiles upon his devotee, which is his heart's way of showing he's pleased with his devotee, that smile is like an unlimited oceanic downpour of nectar that inundates the heart of the devotee. His smile was more cooling than hundreds and millions of rays from the full moon. It was a downpour of nectar. When the Brahmins' wives witnessed this beautiful form of Krishna smiling upon them, through their eyes, they carried Krishna to the very innermost core of the inner chambers of their heart. And there in the heart, Krishna embraced them, and they embraced Krishna with pure, unmotivated love. In this ecstasy, they closed their eyes and they saw that beautiful form, not in an imagination, but they actually saw that form of Shamsundar was present within their hearts. Then they would open their eyes and see the same form standing in front of them. They'd close their eyes and see him in their heart, and open and see him standing before them. Tears of ecstatic love poured from their eyes. But they came there to serve the Lord, to please the Lord. With great happiness, considering this the ultimate fulfillment of all of their desires, they offered Krishna the love of their hearts through the golden pots of prasad. Krishna was very happy. After smiling and glancing upon them, he said, "Oh, very virtuous wives of great Brahmins, welcome. I welcome you. Please, have seat. Be comfortable. I know why you have come. You have come because your heart has attained the ultimate perfection. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure love and devotion for me. I have no way to repay you for your love. However, my request is, let that love in and of itself be your compensation. You have come here at great risk. You have come here even with the obstacle of the prohibitions, the insults, and the condemnation of your near and dear ones. You have pleased my heart." Krishna thanked them from his heart. Krishna explained that he is the super soul within everyone's heart. And whoever anyone loves, we only love that person because that person is part and parcel of Krishna. When the soul leaves the body, you cannot have a loving relationship with a corpse. What is it that we love? We love the soul. Why do we love the soul? Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta shanatana. Because the soul is an emanation of Krishna. The soul is an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna. Because of a soul's relation with Krishna, the soul is so attractive that it could draw such deep and immense love from our hearts. What to speak of the Supreme Soul? Janmad Yasha Yataha, Him from whom everything and everyone emanates. Krishna explained, because you have awakened your love for me, therefore your love for all living beings is perfect. Now, you should all go back home. I have accepted your offerings, and I am pleased with you. Please go back, because after all, your husbands need you to perform the yajna. When the Brahmins' wives heard these words, they were grief-stricken. Suddenly, everything changed. Their effulgence disappeared. Their lustrous smiles became very, very despondent expressions. They cried, no longer in ecstasy, but in agony. Krishna, how could you send us home? You promised that you will always fulfill the desires of your devotees. You promised to protect and reciprocate with the love of your devotees. We've given up everything for you, Krishna. How could you send us home? And how can we possibly leave you? We're seeing your beautiful form. We're in your presence. It has been the desire, the aspiration, and the goal of our lives. We have attained it. How can we possibly go back to a materialistic situation? Rivers flow from mountains toward the sea. Why would a river that's just at the verge of the sea want to go back to the top of the mountain? If a person is blind and cannot see his whole life, and by some inconceivable miracle is given vision, why will that person want to become blind again? We were rotting in materialistic affairs our whole lives, and now we have attained your lotus feet. How could you send us back to that situation again? Why? Please do not speak these words. We have given our hearts to you. We are not qualified to be your servants. We are not qualified even to be the maidservants of your maidservants. Just let us remain in this Vrindavan forest. And just give us the benediction that when you are performing your pastimes with your devotees, when the tulsi leaves fall from your feet, then we will be able to collect those tulsi leaves and worship them in the forests of Vrindavan. Krishna was very moved by hearing their words. But Krishna spoke with great love and affection. He said, actually, you have duties to your husbands. They are Brahmins. And no doubt they are materialistic. But by your association, they will be transformed. The Brahmin's wife said, but we can't go home. We've been rejected. Our husbands, our fathers, our sons, our brothers, they will never allow us to come back. We broke all of their rules and left. Krishna said that you go back. By my influence, they will not only accept you back, but they will deeply appreciate you. Krishna told them, only a person who I totally reject will not appreciate someone who loves me. By your association, their hearts will be changed. Now, from a social point of view, you are the wives of Brahmins. How will it look as an example to society if you're living in the forests of Vrindavan amongst gopis and gopis? No, you must go back. You must set the proper standard for society. And beside that, you have made your marriage vows to your husbands. And they're performing yajnas, religious yajnas. And they cannot complete their yajnas without your help. So it is your duty. You go back. This is my will. Please know, gopis. Please know, Brahmins, wives. You're very dear to me. You will not attain me simply by physical proximity with me. But you will attain me by constantly meditating upon me. The path of ultimate perfection is by seeing my form of the deity, by hearing of my qualities, by hearing my pastimes, by speaking about me, by always meditating upon me, and by constantly chanting my holy names. This is the process of always living with me. This is the process by which I will always be present in your heart, not simply physical proximity. So you go home. You will be accepted. That is my will. When the wives of the Brahmins heard Krishna's desire with complete faith, with joyous hearts, they return to their homes. This is very instructive. Srila Prabhupada displayed it in his own life. He was living in Vrindavan at Sri Radha Damodar Temple in the Seva Kunja, the place where Krishna's Rasa Lila with Sri Radha and Gopis is eternally taking place. In the presence of Rupa Goswami at his Samadhi Mandir. Who would possibly want to leave a place like that at the end of one's life? Prabhupada was 69 years old. He left Vrindavan, came to Bombay. It's inconceivable. Many of us in Bombay are always longing to be in Vrindavan. This morning I was speaking with our Devananda Pandit Prabhu. Are you here? Huh? Ah, okay. As long as he went to the farm, it's all right. He so much wants to go back and live in Vrindavan. He was expressing his eagerness. I said, very good, very good, very eager. That's why you should stay in Bombay. We should always be eager to living in Vrindavan. But we should do the seva of the Lord according to the Lord's will. That is Prabhupada's example. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's example. Very well. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come to Bombay. Harivo. But actually, did he leave Vrindavan? No. He was more in Vrindavan than the people who are chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe in Vrindavan. Because he was carrying Vrindavan in the core of his heart.
He was carrying the will of Radharani, who appeared in this age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna with the love of Radha. And what was Radharani's order through Mahaprabhu? To spread the glories of the holy name in every town and every village throughout the world. Vyavashayatmaka budhir eke hakudunandana. Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj instructed him to teach the fallen, suffering people, forgetful of Krishna, how to love Krishna. By hearing about Him, by associating with His devotees, by worshipping the deity, by chanting the holy name. So yes, Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come to Bombay. But actually, he came to bring Vrindavan to Bombay. In fact, in early 1970s, he was at the steps of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan after giving a very historical lecture, waiting for his car. And he cast his merciful glance in this direction, right across the street, and told Shamsundar Prabhu, we should have a temple here. And how he fought valiantly against all odds, removing all obstacles. For what purpose? To build Radharas Bihari's temple in Juhu. Radharas Bihari, the enjoyer of the highest rasas, he brought to Bombay. Sri Radha Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, by His desire, by His potency, by His mercy, they have appeared. This is Vrindavan, where devotees come together with innocent and pure hearts to serve one another, to hear about Krishna, to chant the holy names. That place is Vrindavan. That is Krishna Prabhupada's mercy. He brought Vrindavan across oceans. Wherever His lotus feet touched, that place transformed into the spiritual world. So yes, we should always be longing to be in Vrindavan. But we will attain actual love by our pleasing Krishna's desires. Pleasing Guru's desires. And it is by Prabhupada's love for Vrindavan Dham that we are all here today. So yes, Prabhupada, for the well-being of others, sacrificed so much. Similarly, this was the instruction Krishna gave to the wives of the Brahmins. Go back home. Live with your husbands in those houses. For their well-being. It is my desire. And you will always be with me. And I will always be with you. So they returned. And when they returned, their husbands, their fathers, their brothers, their sons, everyone was with folded hands, bowing down to them. Now where do you find proud yajnik Brahmins bowing to the feet of their wives? It's not common. At least I haven't seen it. How many of you husbands bow down to your wives? I won't ask you to raise your hand. It's probably something very confidential. But they all were bowing down because they understood their wives attained the ultimate perfection of life. Just by associating with their wives, they became pure in heart. That is the power of association. And we see factually, even in our own contemporary environment, that sometimes a person becomes a devotee and the family is very against.
But because of that person's dedication, surrender, and love for Krishna, Krishna within the heart of the family members changes them. People who are adamantly against and making issue in public become devotees just because their son and daughter love Krishna. I will not mention names, but we have people here whose daughters, whose fathers and mothers were outraged that they were coming to Hare Krishna temples and neglecting so many social things and activities of sense gratification. But now the mother or the father are initiated devotees. Not just one case, but many cases. Haribo. Even people of the West, what to speak of the East? Many, many of our devotees came because their children became devotees. Or another family member becomes devotee. How is that? Because Krishna is so pleased by that devotee's effort, he actually personally, just to please the devotee, changes the heart of relatives. Even Prahlad, he changed the heart. He changed it in he very visibly changed the heart of Hiranyakashipu. But not all parents are like that. Their hearts change from within. They become favorable. They become respectful. They become proud. Even in the West, most of my god brothers and god sisters, parents, brothers, sisters, they were appalled. They were bewildered. They were confused. They were disgusted. What are you wearing, a sari? What are you, shaving head? Crazy. Putting paint on your face and wearing bed sheets? You're completely going to ruin the reputation of our family forever. Yes, we have seen. And then we've seen these same people dancing in Radha Gopinath temple in ecstasy, smiling and laughing, chanting japa, proud. Proud that their brothers, their sisters, their children are devotees. So yes, if we just have that determination, if we actually are sincere about purifying our hearts, Krishna will compensate and perform miracles in the hearts of others. And that is what happened. Just a few hours before, those yajnik Brahmins were harshly condemning their wives for leaving to go to Krishna. And when they came back, their husbands were bowing down in humility, worshipping their wives. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki! Should I continue? What were you going to remind me of? Ah, yes, yes. The Brahmin's wife who was imprisoned in the house. Can any obstacle possibly impede the progress of a sincere devotee? Obstacles are friends of devotees. Obstacles, Advaita Prabhu explained, are servants of Krishna, which actually help a devotee. So this is an obstacle. All the other lady friends escaped. They just went. But this one lady was unable to go. But because she was unable to go and everyone else went, she was
burning in separation from Krishna. Burning in separation. That burning was so intense and so deep. And in that feeling of separation, Krishna manifested so profoundly within her heart that she actually gave up her material body. And immediately assumed a spiritual form where she was allowed to become a gopi, be trained by the other gopis, and then enter into Krishna's eternal wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan. So was it an impediment? The other Brahmins' wives, they understood what happened to their friend. And they were considering her supremely fortunate. She attained a spiritual body to enter into the loving pastimes of the Lord. How wonderful. And all the other Brahmins and relatives, they also could understand her good fortune. And they praised her. It is a fact that when obstacles come on the path of our sincere efforts to serve the Lord, those obstacles can be either the cause of our fall down or our entrance into the spiritual world. Because when there is an obstacle, we must sincerely take shelter. Konte aprati janati, Krishna explains in Gita, that he will always protect his devotee. How he protects his devotees, we cannot always calculate by our material intelligence, logic, or vision. This lady appeared to die. Is that protecting? Yes! She didn't die. She just gave up her material form and immediately attained a spiritual form to serve Krishna in Vrindavan Dham. That is protection. Why? Because even though the greatest impediment came before her, which was actually impossible to overcome, she took shelter within the very core of her heart of Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, and Krishna's holy names. When the Brahmins saw their wives, they were just coming from having the darshan of Govinda Dev. Rupa Goswami warns, if you are attached to all the materialistic things of this world, do not go to the bank of Jamuna to see Govinda Dev, because he will attract your heart away from all of these things. So they were just on the bank of the Ganga, of the Jamuna, seeing Govinda Dev. And when they were returning home, there were tears in their eyes, their hairs were standing on end, their limbs were trembling, all ecstatic symptoms were manifested. And all the relatives could see that. What an ultimate treasure. They have attained the perfection of life. The Brahmins began to repent. Due to association with their wives, the Brahmins became purified. Harivo! Previously, they were simply addicted to materialistic tantra, yantra, mantra, mudra, puja, and all of these other things for materialistic purposes, for fame. And they were really famous. These Brahmins knew the Vedas thoroughly. They could chant mantras excellently. They could perform pujas proficiently. They were very, very famous worshipable by the people of the society. But they missed the whole point. That was their realization. The purpose of everything we do in our life is to please God. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi yad asya. Everything is meant for the satisfaction of God. Yes, we are twice. They were born by their mother and father, the first birth. They were given initiation into Brahman and Gayatri, second birth. And then they were given entrance into the initiation to perform yajnas, which is a third birth. The Brahman's realization was, to hell with our three births. To hell with our being first-class Brahmins. To hell with our being scholars of the Vedas. To hell with all our mantra, tantra, yantra, puja, and mudra. To hell with all of our fame, people touching our feet, worshipping us, giving us dakshina. To hell with all of our yajnas. The whole purpose of everything in life is to please Krishna. If we do not develop an attraction for Krishna, shrameva hi kevalam, it's all a useless, pitiable, worthless waste of time. To hell with our lives. We have spoiled everything. Krishna personally asked us to serve Him and we rejected it. But our wives, they never got any second initiations. They never took any third initiations. They don't know any mantras, tantras, yantras, mudras, or pujas. All they know is taking care of children, cooking and cleaning the house. That's all they know. No one's touching their feet. No one's worshiping them. But in their simple, innocent hearts, they love Krishna. They fearlessly surrendered everything to give their love to Krishna. They realized their hearts became pure just by associating with their wives. Srila Prabhupada explains that very often ladies have simple hearts. And therefore it's very easy with their simple, innocent hearts to accept Krishna and to give their love to Krishna. But men's minds are oftentimes very complicated. Now, I'm not speaking from the point of view of a man. I'm speaking from the point of view of the acharyas, what they say. So much logic and reason and philosophy and doubts and all of these things. That's why Prabhupada explains practically every religion in the world, and we have seen it's true, whether it's the Catholic cathedrals in Italy and France, or the Church of England in the UK, or whether it's in the Protestant or Catholic churches in Americas or Australia or Russia, Orthodox Church, or whether it's the masjids in the Middle East, the majority of people are ladies. I will cite an instance that you have heard before. When I was in Gujarat, Surat, all respects to Surat, it's a very special place, there was a pandal program outside. There was about 500 people who attended my lecture. 499 ladies. And one man who was holding a baby. So I asked, I'm a sannyasi. It wasn't a comfortable situation. I asked,
where are all your husbands? Are they coming? They said, no, they're not coming. I said, why? They said, oh, they're watching the cricket game on television tonight. Or some of them are reading their newspapers like that. They're not interested in these things. Hare Krishna. Another time in Borivali. Do you remember that? Mahasatsang. How many ladies were there? It was about 2,000 ladies. And only the very staunch congregation of men were there. Because that night, India was playing Pakistan in a match of cricket. This is a very serious subject matter. If there's ever a justification to stay home, that must be it. So I saw the brahmacharis were there and some of our very staunch grihastic congregation, but as far as the general public, there was no man and thousands of ladies. Where are your husbands? They will come after the cricket game. Hare Krishna. And sure enough, somehow or other that year India won. So they missed the whole lecture. But during the kirtan, thousands of men came and started dancing. What their motivation was, the Paramatma knows. I cannot understand these things. But actually, Krishna consciousness is for everyone. And these great Brahmins, as learned, scholarly, and famous and worshipable as they were, ultimately understood that they were egoistic, they were materialistic, and they were attached. And their wives, simple, innocent, they had attained the ultimate perfection of love of God. They had attained the true state of renunciation. And yes, they remained home and they assisted their husbands. Shukadeva Goswami ends this story by explaining how these Brahmins, because of the association of their pure-hearted wives, they wanted so much to run into the forests of Vrindavan, to go to the bank of the Yamuna, and to fall at Krishna Balaram's lotus feet, beg forgiveness, worship them, and offer their hearts to them. But they did not. Why? Because they knew if Kamsa hears that they went to Vrindavan to associate with Krishna and Balaram, Kamsa may punish them or kill them. And they were not prepared to die for Krishna. But their wives did not think twice to be willing to give their lives for Krishna and Balaram. That bhog was offered with such pure love and surrender that Krishna, Balaram, and all the gopas sat on the bank of Yamuna, and Krishna personally fed all of his friends that nectarine ambrosia of food that was scented, spiced with the love of the hearts of the wives of the Yajna Brahmins. Thus, Krishna Balaram and all his friends feasted on the love of his devotees. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Acharyas, we are also feasting on this wonderful, loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. So yes, it is not necessary that we have to change our position in society. It is not necessary that we have to give up our jobs, our occupations, our ashrams. Krishna did not allow this. Spiritual life means changing our hearts and living for the welfare of others by helping to change their hearts. What Krishna told the wives of the Brahmins is what Krishna told all of the people he met when he traveled through South India as Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The Kurma Brahmin, he had a wife and children. He said, I cannot bear the incessant waves of suffering in this ocean of material existence. I want to leave everything behind, my Lord, and go with you, entering into the renounced order of life. And Lord Chaitanya said, do not ever speak like this again. You go home. You have your wife, you have your children, you have your home. Do not leave it. Krishnaize it. I will always be with you. We will never be separate. Stay in the position you are in, but teach others about me. Speak from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Live for the welfare of others. Always remember me and constantly chant my holy name. In this way you will always feel my divine presence. We will never be separated. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told whoever he met in South India. The Lord taught grihasthas in this way, and how he trained his brahmacharis and sannyasis to be so strict. For Raghunath Das Goswami, we will give another class. The same principle applied according to time, place, circumstance, according to a devotee's heart. Grihe tako, vanne tako, sada hari bole tako. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he was a husband. Bhagavati Devi was his wife, and he had 10 children. But he was a perfect devotee. Prabhupada called him a Grihastha Paramhamsa. And he ordered all his Grihasthas to be Grihastha Paramhamsas. That means you, if you're a Grihastha. To be a Paramhamsa Grihastha. And you say, I have no time. I have 3 children. Multiply by that by 3.5, and you have 10. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur did it. Just like Madhai gave us no excuse to not become a pure devotee in this life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave grihasthas no excuse. He was a government servant with so much demand. He had 10 children and a wife to support. Harivo. But he chanted 64 rounds every day. He wrote volumes of books and songs and prayers. He established namhatas in hundreds of villages
tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people he was Shiksha Guru for. And he did his work, and all of his children were pure devotees. In fact, one was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was so inspired by his father's renunciation that he took sannyas. Haribo. To carry on the mission of Bhakti Vinod. So whether we are grihasthas or sannyasis, that is not important. What is important is we have an honest and earnest heart. We want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees. We want to live our lives in a spirit of servitude for the welfare of others. And with a great vow of determination, we chant the holy names of the Lord. Yes, if you follow a spiritual system that teaches you, just do as you like, flow with the waves of your mind and senses. Don't cause yourself too much trouble. Just be nice. Then, at the best, according to the Shastra, at the best you may attain a heavenly planet. But if you want to transcend the modes of nature and attain eternal loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we must live a life of sincerity. We must take vows. Vows of determination to live purely without sin. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat-eating. Vows to help us to always remember Krishna and chant His holy names. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. Now, anybody can give anybody's opinion. But according to God and the Shastras in the age of Kali, it's only the name of Hari, it's only Sankirtan that can bring our consciousness to the highest platform. Asana, Dhyan, Pranayam, they can give us, bring us to higher planes of material peace. And with, combined with tremendous renunciation, they may bring us even to the platform of Brahman, impersonal realization. But to enter into the highest platform of the divine Leela of the Lord, it is only the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. Humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like the tree. That means forgiving and living for the welfare of others. Offering all respect to others and expecting none in return. In that spirit, we can achieve that ultimate perfection. How? By chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. This is the conviction that has been broadcasted by the holy scriptures and all of the truly great acharyas throughout history. And that is what our beloved Srila Prabhupada has given us. The uncompromised, unadulterated formula by which we can attain the ultimate realm of love. Yes, simply by hearing and speaking about Krishna in the assembly of devotees and chanting the holy names in a spirit of servitude, what transpired in the hearts of the wives of the Brahmins will take place in our hearts. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai,
Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnavrind ki Gaura Prabhanandi. At this time, I would like to ask Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu to address the audience with their wonderful hearts of spiritual affection. These two souls are doing historical service. If I wanted to explain my appreciation for them, then we would be here for many days. They are like pillars of one of the most important and successful projects in all the world, Bhaktivedanta Manor. Through crises, through inundations of problems, through all sorts of difficulties, internal and external, the British government at one time controlled India, America, and most of the world. They passed a law to close down the worship which in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And these two men were part of the team that actually marched, revolted against the British Empire, and were victorious. Through heartbreaking internal experiences, they remained faithful and true to the service of Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And what are the fruits? Thousands of people are becoming devotees. Janmashtami at Bhaktivedanta Manor, there is nothing like it in all the world. Our Radha Gopinath is not even a drop compared to the ocean of what they have in Bhaktivedanta Manor. They have dramas, they have displays, they have exhibitions, they have lectures, they have... It's incredible. It's like a whole city vibrant with preaching of Hari Bhakti. And for Janmashtami, 80,000 people attend every year. And it's not inflated like we do here. Actually, 80,000 people coming. And this is not in India, this is in England. And they are so much the inspirations. Their dedication, their loyalty, something wonderful, something extraordinary. And although they're very humble, all the leaders of our society very much honor and worship their lotus feet by their exemplary, loving devotional service to Sri Radha Gokulananda, to Srila Prabhupada, and all the Vaishnavas. With those words, we would like to invite both of you to speak whatever is in your heart.
Mukam karoti vachanam pangum langete girim yat kripa tamaham bande shi guru dinakarina. First of all, on behalf of our group in London, I would deeply like to appreciate the Vaishnav community here at Radha Gopinath Mandir. Especially His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, for his affection, his kindness, his friendship. We are traveling to India for Jatra, pilgrimage. So we are going to Mayapur very shortly, Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan. So the question is always asked, why are you going to Bombay? Why are you going to Mumbai? That doesn't appear in the Jatra list. And what we have said always is that coming here to Mumbai as advertised in London. In London, Mumbai is advertised as the gateway to India. Actually, it should be reworded the spiritual gateway to India. Because here we have, as Maharaj has stated, Radha Ras Vihari, Radha Gopinath, Radha Giridhari. This is the spiritual gateway to India. This community of devotees here at Chowpatty is exemplary. It is taken throughout ISKCON that this is the community we should follow. And there is one person that has made it what it is. I was speaking with Indrajumna Swami just a month ago. And he told me, "Did Radhanath Swami come here?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I was in America. And America was not doing so well, but I met such wonderful devotees. So I asked them, 'Whose disciple are you?' And they said, 'Radhanath Swami.' And then he said, 'I came to Europe and I met some very new bhaktas. They were exemplary, and I asked them, 'Whose disciples are you? Are you aspiring for anyone?' They said, 'Radhanath Swami.' He said, 'And today I've come to England and I've noticed some very exemplary personalities were here. And I was speaking to them and they were disciples of Radhanath Maharaj.' So he said, 'Everywhere I go, Radhanath Maharaj is influencing the Vaishnavas.' So this community of devotees here is very exemplary. That means there is a great responsibility upon all of you. That all of you should keep that integrity. Because the name of Radha Gopinath Mandir is non-different from the name of Radhanath Maharaj. So great responsibility lies upon every disciple. Why Mumbai? There are three cities which influence the world. New York is influencing everything, especially America. Whatever happens, it will happen throughout America. Whatever happens in London, it will affect the whole of Europe. And whatever happens in Mumbai, it will affect the whole of Asia. So that is why it is so important here coming to Mumbai. We are about to go to Mayapur. And in the Navadip Mahatmya, Jiva Goswami, he first went and he took permission from Lord Nityananda. And then he said, "I also have come to get your blessings." So our London group, we have come here to get the permission and blessings of the Vaishnav community and especially His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that we may be able to actually perceive the spiritual world in the holy places. The holy places, they are covered. Yoga Maya, Prodhamaya. It is a covering like carpet. And unless the carpet is rolled up, you will not know what is the spiritual world. So we have come to request Radhanath Swami to roll up the carpet for us so that we may be able to perceive the spiritual realm. The blessings of the Vaishnavas, This is the most important principle in our spiritual life. Vina mahat padu raja abhishekaham. Unless these blessings are there, we will not be able to succeed. It is very, very difficult. So we have come to ask for those blessings. And as every disciple of Maharaj is here, those blessings are actually following the instructions of the spiritual master. Maharaj was speaking about the Brahmins and their wives, about parents. So each one of us, we have our parents. But we also have our spiritual father as well, our guru. The story is there of Sarangam Thakur. He was ordered to give diksha. And the next morning, the first person he would meet, he would give diksha. So a dead corpse came. But because it was the first person, he touched the corpse. Immediately came to life. And he gave him life. And he became Murari Thakur. So from that example, we can learn that our parents may give us birth, but our guru actually gives us life. Murari Thakur, he said the same thing. When the parents came to get him back, they said, "You have to come home now." He said, "You gave me birth, but not life." So the guru is actually giving us life. So great responsibility lies upon every disciple. My real life, my second life, began because my spiritual master, he has touched my heart. Maharaj has overly exaggerated our service. We are simply servants. We take great inspiration from him. And he has instructed us greatly to make sure that in England, especially, many Englishmen become Krishna conscious as well. So we are working on this. And Krishna consciousness, it is like joining the mafia. There must be mafia in Bombay as well. There is mafia in London, there is mafia in Moscow. So Krishna consciousness is also like joining the mafia. Because once you join, you can never leave. Why? Because you know too much. So in this regard, there is one story I can quickly say. There was one English gentleman by the name of Andrew. And our devotees had spoken to him and we had spoken to him over many years. And he finally came to Krishna consciousness. But there was one habit he had. He said, "I cannot give up." He said, "Why does Krishna consciousness not allow fishing?" Said, "I like to go fishing." So we had said, no, that's not allowed. So he finally even gave up fishing. And over many, many years, he practiced Krishna consciousness. But he had a crisis of faith. So eventually, he decided to leave Krishna consciousness. The book that had inspired him greatly was the Bhagavad Gita. So he was looking at this book and he said, "Now I can't stand this anymore. These books, these beads, everything." So he took the Gita and it was his own personal copy with his name in it. And in a rage of anger, he threw it away in the dustbin. And just to make sure that we would not visit him, he moved 200 miles away. So this English gentleman and his wife, they moved away in a very remote part of England. And 4 years later, we met him at the temple. And he said, I have come back. This movement is like the mafia. I cannot leave. And we said, what has happened? He said, I was doing all sorts of things, but I went fishing. Because that was one of the reasons I couldn't leave. I had to leave because of fishing. So he went fishing, he said, and I thought I had caught a big fish, and I was pulling and pulling. And he pulled in this big catch, and when he brought it into his boat, it was a black bag. So he opened this bag. He thought, what is this black bag? People throwing rubbish in the river here. So he opened the bag, and inside the bag, there was another plastic bag. And inside that bag, there was a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. Now that is not uncanny why I said it was the mafias, because he looked at the front of it, and it was his Bhagavad Gita with his name on it. How it arrived from the dustbin to 200 miles, he said, you were following me. He said, Krishna does not leave anyone alone. Once you come, it is like the mafia. So in this way, our preaching is going on. Much more is going on. Once again, our great appreciation for the Vaishnava community here at Radha Gopinath, an exemplary community of devotees. You have a lot to offer. You have a lot to give. And you have a reputation which you have to keep. Great responsibility lies upon each individual in this community. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mahavishnu Pranaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pcharane. Nirvasai Sasanyavadi Vashchachade Satarane. Panchakalpa Dhruvischa Kripasan Vaivacha. Padidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, first I'd like to thank all of you for giving our London group such a wonderful, warm welcome. I am not particularly a very eloquent or good speaker. Maharaj's class, actually before coming into the temple room, Maharaj asked us inside, would you two gentlemen like to say anything? And I said very strongly, Maharaj, I've come to hear you. So Maharaj has said, he spoke very eloquently, very nicely. And of course, Srila Dharma Prabhu has also spoke very nicely, very, very eloquently. A little realization of Krishna consciousness I would like to share is just at the end of class, Maharaj said how everything is coming from chanting Hare Krishna. As we were coming here today, actually we almost missed the place. The last time we were at Radha Gopinath Temple was about 4 years ago, I believe. And me and Shruti were together. Just hang on a minute, where are we? And as soon as I saw this front, so what a wonderful transformation. I could not believe my eyes what I was seeing. And for me, it is very, very inspiring when we see, when we hear, when I put, of projects. And Srishti Radha Gopinath Temple project here is not just exemplary in its how beautiful the building is, but more so how beautiful the hearts of the Vaishnavas are, and even more so how beautiful the heart of their leader is. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is inspiring thousands of people. Thousands of people to come to Krishna consciousness, to chant Hare Krishna. And I've actually stopped simply praying to Krishna. I pray to Krishna, but actually now I petition Krishna even more. Not just pray. That somehow or the other, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj would spend a little more time in London with us, so that the manifestation of Krishna, the manifestation of spirit of the spiritual world, would also happen there. Mm-hmm. His faith in chanting Hare Krishna, his eagerness in chanting Hare Krishna is most exemplary. And I perceive here so much is coming from this having this 100% faith. So I simply like to thank everyone for allowing us to be here and petition Radhanath Maharaj to please come to London a lot more. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.